All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. We had a little look last night at the Lord out of Psalm 63. I want to get another look tonight out of Exodus chapter 21. While you're turning, I do want to say it's good to be here and be in service tonight. And by the way, pray for my son. He's mentioned him just a second ago. Probably about right now he's getting ready to preach also. In Burnsville, North Carolina. If you've never been there, you ought to go there. And I love it. It's in the mountains, western North Carolina. And they don't talk just like we do, but they're good people. We're on the internet, and I shouldn't have said that, but anyhow, they are good people. They don't call a car. They call it a rig. I pull up in the churchyard, and they say, man, that's a nice rig you're driving. And that's right. And they say, young's come back now. And that doesn't bother me one bit. I like that. I like saying it myself. And you go down and get a drink, you know, you get a Coca-Cola. They call that a dope. Let's go get a dope. And when I think about dope, I don't think about Coca-Cola. But anyhow, good folk, he's up there preaching tonight, so I wish you'd pray for him. God will help him and use him. Good to be here tonight, and good to see this good number in church on Tuesday night. How many's had a real, real good day? Say amen. If you got up and was able to get up by yourself this morning, you're having a good day. I want to rewind that. I said, if you got up and was able to get up by yourself, you're having a good day. And the older I get, the more I appreciate that. I really mean that. I sure do. And I woke up this morning. It's time to get up. And I had a good night's rest. Thank you for the good place to stay. Again, thank you for the good meal tonight, Miss Preacher, wherever you're at, Miss Donna, and the family. All of you, thank you so much. But y'all changed sides on me. But anyhow, good day. I woke up this morning, and I didn't used to have this problem. But I woke up this morning, and it come time to get out of the bed. And I told this leg to move over, you know, slide off the bed. And that leg said to that bed, leg said, I moved first yesterday, you move first today. And you get old, you'll have them problems, amen. But I appreciate the goodness of God. Good to be here tonight, and good to be in the service tonight. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy the singing here. I mean that. I really mean that. Boy, I'll tell you what, the three sisters done a good job tonight, didn't they? And they are sisters, they are. And if they thought they can be, but I believe they are. Amen. I enjoyed that good singing tonight. My wife singing tonight. Choir singing tonight. I like it. I sure do. And I like the songs y'all sing around here. That's the kind of singing I was brought up in. That's the kind of singing my church does. And I like that. I sure do. Good singing tonight. And so good to be in the service tonight. And I know you come to Grace Baptist Church. And I want to encourage you to be here every time the door's open. You want to encourage you, preacher, back him up, be here every time the door's open. But if you go somewhere else and come back here, you'll thank God for what you got. I'll guarantee you that. I mean that with all my heart. And good singing. I love it tonight. I sure do. And I know everybody says it and all the preachers says it. Well, you can't build a church on singing. Try to build one without it. And I'm telling you, I love it tonight. So good to be here and be in service tonight. I want you to look with me tonight in Exodus chapter number 21. And man, it's so good to see everybody in the service tonight. And I appreciate you being here and being in the house of God tonight. Let's stand together as I read tonight. I'm going to read something. You stay right where you're at. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Here's what I want you to hear. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I believe real revival produces. I don't think you'll be the same if you have revival. And the psalmist said here after the revival verse, I will hear what the Lord will say. And I want to say this tonight. I am more interested in what's going to be going on here 3 weeks after I'm gone than what's happening right now. And if God does something for you, I promise you, revival, if you have revival, it will change your life. I promise you that. How revival always produces results. I got a phone call this afternoon from a preacher in Ohio. I was there 3 weeks ago. And man, he was shouting the victory about what happened since revival. And I'll just say tonight, revival tonight, listen, revival produces tonight. And don't you look with me in Exodus chapter 21. You'll see why I'm saying that in just a second. Bible said in these verses here, beginning chapter 21, verse 1, "Now these are the judgments which thou hast set before them. Hath thou by a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and then the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. And if his master have given him a wife, or she have bore him sons or daughters, the wife and her children, that shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself." And verse number 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, "I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. I spoke the other night in a sweetheart banquet, and I used that verse right there. You know, God's divine order for your home, here it is. I love my master, my wife, my children." That's God's divine order. If you'll get the first one right, everything else will be right. I'm not going to preach on that, but it's a good thought. And then to verse number 6. "Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl," that's like an ice pick, "and he shall serve him forever." Our Heavenly Father, as we look into the Word of God tonight, I have a real desire to be a blessing and be a help tonight. And you said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, you draw all men unto you." Lord, if you'll help me tonight, I'll lift you up just a few minutes tonight. And I pray you'll take the Word of God and work in our hearts tonight. Have a number this large, there's no doubt in my mind, there's probably somebody. Maybe a mama, maybe a daddy, maybe a boy, maybe a girl tonight, sending this service tonight. They died where they stand right now. They go to hell because they're not saved. And if there is somebody here like that tonight, I pray the Holy Ghost will speak to their heart. I pray you'll draw by your power, God saved by your grace tonight, and do that I can't do. I pray you'll give us liberty to preach and give us that we need tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sitting. You can be seated tonight. I don't take these verses I read tonight, and I want to walk right back down through them as I preach tonight. And by the way, the Bible's a pretty good thing to preach. So I want to walk back down through them as I preach tonight. And I want to preach tonight on this thought. The law of the Hebrew servant. And I want to say tonight, what a joy. What an honor to be a servant of God. I have been on both sides of that fence. I served the devil several years. And I've been serving God now 54 years. And I'll say tonight, what a joy, hallelujah, how to be a servant of God tonight. What an honor. You say, "Well, preacher, you are a preacher." Listen to me. If you're saved tonight, you're a servant. Help me preach now. I'm preaching good. I said, if you're saved tonight, you're a servant tonight. And we serve him tonight. And as we look into this tonight, let me say 2 or 3 things here. Before I get into what I'm going to say tonight. If you study the New Testament tonight, you'll find the Apostle Paul likens the children of God to many different things. For instance, we're likened unto a son. We're likened unto a saint. We're likened unto a soldier. We're likened unto a steward. We're likened unto a student. But we're likened unto a servant tonight. And here in this story here tonight, we see the picture here of the Hebrew servant. And I'll say, if you're saved again tonight, you are a servant of God. Now, I don't know what kind you are. I just know if you're saved, you're a servant. I don't want to be a mediocre, do you? I want to be a good servant for God. After all, what he's done for me and all that he's done for me, hey, I want to say thank God. I want to be a good servant for him this evening. And I want to say this about this servant here tonight and about this text here tonight. The truth of the matter is, we've said it tonight, a true type, a true Old Testament type is always illustrated in the New Testament. Can I say that again? A true Old Testament type is always illustrated in the New Testament. You'll say, where's it at? Right here it is. Paul, Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant how Jesus Christ separated under the gospel of God. How Paul was a servant. And if you study that out tonight, you'll find he was a bond slave. That's what it's all about tonight, a bond slave tonight. That Old Testament servant tonight. And again, let me say this tonight. An Old Testament type, if it's a true type, it's always illustrated in the New Testament. And that's what Paul was tonight. He was a servant of God this evening. I thought about this today when I studied. Someone has said the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Did I say that right? I said someone has said the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. By the way, I see Jesus all through it. Yeah, all through them 39 books. And I see him right in the very beginning of Genesis. Matter of fact, I see him in Genesis 1:1. Hello, J.W. Are y'all hearing me? Yes, sir. Y'all take their world translation of the Bible and ask them if they come to your house. If you don't, before you run them off, ask them this. Read me Genesis 1:1. In that world new translation they have, it will say in the beginning God. Ask them who God is. Ask them to give the Hebrew word for God. It's the word Elohim, that's God the Father, and God the Son, hello, and God the Holy Ghost. In plural, are you listening? And I'll say this to you tonight. Hey, Jesus is all over that tonight. Even in verse number 1. All the way to Revelation 22. So I'll say this to you tonight. How the Old Testament tonight is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament tonight is the New Testament revealed. And it's the Old Testament revealed tonight. And by the way, can I just say this tonight? Paul makes mention of a servant. All through the Bible talks about it. Paul said in Romans 1:1 again. Paul, a servant. Bible said in James 1 verse number 1, James a servant. Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse number 1, Peter a servant of Jesus Christ. And an apostle. Hey, he's a servant tonight. Revelation 1:1, it talks about a servant. And I want to say this to you now, what a joy to be a servant tonight. Listen to me, I want to say what a joy. Man, I get to represent him. I get to tell others about him. Thank God, what a joy to be a servant tonight. Isn't it a joy to tell a lost and a dying world how that you're a servant of God? Hey, you get to serve him. I don't have to serve him. I get to serve him. I don't have to preach. I get to preach. I don't have to come to church. Thank God, I get to come to church. All right, listen, what a joy to be a servant tonight. And by the way, if you study your Bible, you'll find that Jesus adopted the role of a servant. Yes, he did. Listen to this right here. And it's wonderfully illustrated. And John chapter 13. John chapter number 13, the Bible said, of course it was the Passover supper. This is what Jesus said. He rising from the supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. Watch this. Bible said, and Jesus rising from the supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. Guess what he done? He washed those disciples' feet. What a picture of a servant tonight. He laid aside that royal robe. He condescended, come down, and become a servant tonight. He laid aside his robe, and the Bible said there that he girded himself with a towel, and he washed those disciples' feet. Listen to me now. That's the lowest that a Hebrew servant would step. And I'll say to you now, Jesus, what an example. Thank God, what an example. I'm telling you, the sovereign become a servant, and you and I can be saved tonight. All right, listen to me now. All hear me tonight. The Bible talks about that. How that he condescended. That word's not in the Bible, but one time. It's found in Romans 12, condescended. There's two other places has reference to it, but it don't use the word itself. Condescended. Here's what it means. He stepped down. Here's what it means. He stepped out of eternity into time. The Son of God become the Son of Man. And you and I can become the sons of God. Hallelujah. I said, I'm telling you this evening, and the sovereign become a servant. I want to tell you, and washing those disciples' feet. Are you listening to me? Oh, listen now, he was a servant. Let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbing him equal with God, made himself no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And I want to tell you, whether the cross, thank God, it died for you and I this evening. Oh, listen to me, the sovereign have become the servant. The Son of God become the Son of Man, and you and I can be saved by the good grace of God. Bible said that he laid aside his garment. Had he become a servant, listen to this, 33 and a half years, on planet earth he was a servant. Yeah, he was a servant. But after 33 and a half years, he walked up a hill called Calvary, laid down his life. They didn't take his life. He laid down his life. Anytime, he listened to, it was never out of his control. Are y'all hearing me? Hey, he could have called a band of angels anytime he wanted to. He become the Son of God. He was the Son of God, become the Son of Man. Had he never become the Son of Man, he'd have never died. Are you hearing me? Laid down his life. Well, I read it today. I'm going to have a hard time not preaching on it this week. Psalm 22. Laid down his life, nailed him to a cross, and crucified the Son of God, took him down off the cross, put him in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, thank God. I wish you'd tell me how you get 3 days from Friday to Sunday morning. I'm not a Catholic. Are y'all listening to me? Hear me tonight. He laid down his life, went to Calvary, died. I put him in a tomb. Thank God. 3 days later, he got up. And guess what? He hung around 40 days. And he walks out to the Mount of Olives after 40 days. And reaches up and gets a cloud and pulls it down, steps up on it. And says, glory please. And he leaves out. And Psalm 24 tells you what. Psalm 22, watch this. Psalm 22. He's taking care of our past. That's Calvary. Psalm 23. He's taking care of our present. He's a shepherd. But Psalm 24, he's a sovereign. Guess what happened? He went back to heaven, thank God, and put that robe back on and sat down beside the right hand of the Father. Hear me tonight. I say the sovereign become a servant, and you and I can be saved by the good grace of God. So after he washed the disciples' feet, he took his garment again and sat down again unto them. Are you listening? I want to tell you tonight, he become a servant. And I'll say to you and I tonight, you'll never get no higher than a servant tonight. Hallelujah for the opportunity just to be a servant tonight. I'm going to preach in a minute, but I'll say this. You are somebody's servant. I don't know whose, but you're somebody's. You're either a servant to sin, self, Satan, or the Savior. Are you hearing me? I said you're either a servant to sin or Satan or self. That's where the problem's at a lot of places. Or the Savior. D.L. Moody made this statement. He said you don't measure the success of a man by how many servants he has. You measure the success of a man by how many people he serves. Hear me tonight. What a joy. And right here in our text tonight, you see the picture of a servant tonight. How did that Hebrew servant is bought? He was sold and bought by the master, thank God. I don't have time to preach this. Can I just throw it out? They were sold. That Old Testament servant was sold for one of three reasons. He's either sold because of poverty. He was a street man. He didn't have no money. He could have been sold because of a payment that he owed that he wasn't able to pay. He could have been sold because of a prisoner that got captured during the war. Or he could have been sold simply because of a penalty. Maybe he stole and he wasn't able to pay back the restitution. And as a result of that, they would sell him, bring him to the auction block. Can I tell you this while I preach tonight? If you're lost, you're in that boat tonight. I said, if you're lost, you're in that boat tonight. Hey, you owe a debt you can't pay. Thank God he paid a debt he didn't. Hey, man. Hey, I owe a debt I couldn't pay, but he paid the debt, thank God, that I could not pay. So I want to say in those four things, what a picture of a sinner tonight. But I got some good news. You don't have to leave this building lost tonight. The greatest day in my life, That was the day I got saved by the grace of God. And can I just say this before I preach tonight? I had no idea what happened. I had no idea about justification. I had no idea about sanctification. I had no idea about glorification. I didn't know any of that. I didn't know anything. I thought the book of Job was the book of Job. Are you listening? I didn't know. Are you hearing me? I did not know. But I'll tell you, that night I got saved, I got hooked into something real big, and it's still big, and it's still growing, and I don't know the end results yet. Are you listening? I'll tell you tonight, if you're not saved, you're missing the greatest thing in all the world. Man alive. I want to give you 2 or 3 things about this Hebrew servant. First of all tonight, I want you to see the message, the law of the Hebrew servant. Notice first of all in verse 5, we see the message of the servant tonight. Look at verse 5 again. And if thou buy a servant, and if the servant shall say, plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Notice the message. The message here. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out free. See, he had a choice. He could either go out free or he could stay. And the message of the servant was simply this tonight. I will not go out free. I'll be under you. I'll allow you to tell me what to do. I'll be yours. The message of the servant tonight, by the way, that's a strange message. Don't too many people want to be under nobody else. That's a straight message. And may I say that's a stirring message tonight. And let me say this about this servant tonight. He did have a choice. Hello? I said he did have a choice. And I want to tell you now, you have a choice tonight. I'm glad it's a whosoever will thing tonight. I don't care who you are, what color, what nationality. Thank God it's whosoever will tonight. Well, I love John 3:16, don't y'all? But notice here tonight, the message of the servant tonight, the message is simply this tonight. I will not go out free. I choose to stay right here with you. I choose to serve. His message was, I'm going to serve you. I'm going nowhere. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to serve you. The choice. Notice tonight here, the message of the servant tonight. And by the way, we need some servants. We got enough cheese. We need some servants. We got a lot of cheese, but we don't have many servants tonight. A servant is somebody that sees something that needs to be done and says nothing to nobody about it, goes ahead and does it. Did I say that right? I said a servant is somebody that sees something needs to be done in Christianity and says nothing to nobody about it and just goes right ahead and does it. Nobody's watching. He don't get a pat on the back. He don't get lifted up in Sunday school. I preach it up, recognize him from the pulpit. He just goes ahead and does it. I one time had an associate pastor. And I had several associate pastors when I pastored. But one in particular that I had was right with me. He was with me. And trying to be nice. Are you listening? He wouldn't do anything unless there's somebody looking. He wouldn't do anything. Did I say I once had one? And he wouldn't do anything unless somebody's looking. We'd have prayer meeting on Saturday night. And out in front of our church, we had a large, big sign. And we changed the message on that sign every week. And I would tell him on Sunday night, I'd meet with him on Monday morning. And I said, here's what I got to do this week. Here's what you need to do. He's full-time, work with me. And I said, well, here's what we need to get done this week. And you do this, and I'll do this. You do this, and I'll do this. And one of the things quite often would be, change the church sign. Put a new message on it. Change the message. And I like that. And a different message on the sign. And he would never change the sign. Under Saturday night, we always had a Saturday night 9 o'clock prayer meeting. Our men met every Saturday night at 9 o'clock and prayed. And the only time he just about ever would change that sign was on Saturday night at 8:30. And he wanted to make sure the deacons was coming so they could see what he's doing. I said, I had associate. Are you hearing me tonight? Hey, I'm telling you now, a servant is somebody that sees the job, the message here. Hey, I'll be your servant. I'll do whatever you want me to do. The message of the servant tonight. A servant is somebody. Listen to me tonight. You know what this man of God needs tonight? He needs some servants. He needs some folk to rally around him tonight and carry on the labor and the work here at Amazing. That's what revival's about. You get stirred up and you want to do something for God. Are you listening? How many's ever been to Wendy's? Wendy's? How many likes Wendy's chili? We got a few saved folk in here. Dave Thomas was the guy that started Wendy's. I don't know if he's still living or not. I have no idea. And how many likes Frosties? Man, I'm about ready to go get one. How about y'all? Dave Thomas is a man that started Wendy's. Dave Thomas, they tell me, never even had a business degree. And there's a group of, I know some millionaires that never even went to school. I had a man in my church that owned several Ford dealerships. He couldn't hardly sign his name. Work goes a long ways. But Dave Thomas, a group of businessmen wanted to have a meeting with him one day. And they're sitting around a big round table having a meeting. And some of those businessmen looked at Dave Thomas and said, "Sir, would you tell us what kind of degree you have? Your business degree. What kind of degree did you have in college?" Dave Thomas looked at the man and said, "I have an MBA degree." Those guys looked at him and said, "A what?" He said, "An MBA degree." They said, "Sir, I don't think we've ever heard tell of an MBA degree." He said, "It's called a mop bucket attitude." Oh yeah. You know what we need tonight? We need some folk with that kind of attitude. And I'll tell you this tonight. Oh, just serve God. Whatever you need to be, just serve the Lord. I never will forget this. I shouldn't tell this. I never will forget this. One of the churches I went to, the pastor, some years ago, my first Sunday there, house full of people, great church, large church, great church as far as numbers was concerned, large. And boy, I put my new suit on that day. I wanted to impress everybody, you know, and went to church that day and had a great service. When we got done with the service, some of the guys come up to me and said, "Preacher, got a problem." I said, "What's wrong?" They took me downstairs and the sewer had backed up in the water fountain. I don't know who plumbed that outfit, but they sure messed up. And what happened was, during the service, about 100 people at one time flushed the commodes at one time. And when it did, it stopped it up. And I asked the fellas, I said, "Does this happen very often?" They said, "Yes, sir, it happens pretty often." And I said to myself right there, "It ain't going to happen many more times, I promise you that." And I said, "What do y'all normally do?" He said, "What we normally do is go out in the parking lot," and they was a... across the parking lot, there was some clean outs. You know, we unscrew them caps, and the septic tank was way out yonder. And they would go down to the, go down in the parking lot and unscrew them and run a water hose in there and get it unstopped. So me being the new pastor, I wasn't going to ask them to do anything I wouldn't do. And so I go out there, my new suit on, all fixed up, you know, and I want to be the leader. And I got down on my knees and I started unscrewing that cap. And what I didn't realize was, there's about 300 or 400 flushes backed up. And some, when I turned that cap loose, made the last screw, the last turn, I'm telling you, it looked like the, what's that thing out on, and we went and seen in California, not California, but what is it? It's Montana, up there. What is it? Shoot straight up in there, the water. Whatever it is, that's what it is. And that's what it looked like. And that thing come loose, and when I took that cap off, all that pressure, I'm telling you, it shot as high as this ceiling, and we struck gold real quick. My brand new, beautiful, black suit. Are y'all hearing me preach? And guess what? On Monday morning, there was a plumber in that parking lot with an x-ray machine. I didn't know they could take an x-ray machine in a sewer line, but they really can. And he said, "Look here, preacher, here's the problem." And what happened across the parking lot, somebody had squished it about half in two, or about half together. And it would get hung right there. I said, "What have you got to do to fix it?" Fix it now. I don't care what it costs, fix it. Hey, are you hearing me? My thought is simply this tonight. And I got away from my thought, but here my thought tonight. You ought to be a servant tonight. Hey, whether it's flushing the commode, hey, whether it's cleaning out the sewer, hey, whether it's sweeping the church, hey, whether it's mowing the yard, hey, whether it's knocking on doors, whatever the man of God needs, you ought to fall in behind it. That's how to be a servant. Hey, the message of the servant tonight, the message was, it doesn't matter what it is. I'll do it. Notice the second thing quickly. You see the message of the servant. But then don't you see the master. The master of the servant. Six times. We're not going to read him six verses again. But six times in those six verses, he's called the master. And I want to say tonight, he's a good master. Did you get what I just said? He's a good master. I've served other masters that wasn't too good. I have worked for some people how that was masters over me that wasn't too good. You ever had any of them kind of boss men? I had one time. I really believe the Lord would have forgiven me if I'd killed him. I shouldn't have said that. But anyhow, he'd make you so mad. I mean, he just intentionally would make you mad. I'll promise you he'd test your sanctification real quick. And but hear what I'm saying. He's a good master. Notice the master of the servant. Six times he's called the master. And I'll say this tonight. He's a master, first of all, because the right of the master. He owned the servant. He owned the servant. What? No, you're not. That your body is a temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What? No, you're not. Your body is a temple of God. We're not all, for we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body and our spirit. Hey, I'll tell you something. I belong to somebody else tonight. I'm somebody else's property, thank God. He's a good master tonight. You see the right of the master, but you see the rule of the master. Because in these verses, in verse 4, look at it. By sin, verse 4. And if his master have given him a wife, and she had bore him children. And let's read it right. If his master have given him a wife, and she have bore him sons or daughters, and the wife and her children shall be her masters. And he shall go. You see, he owned it all. He didn't only own the servant, but he owned his wife, if he got her there. And he owned it all. Can I tell you something tonight? Our master owns everything tonight. I said our master owns everything tonight. I was preaching on faith promise the other day. And I was talking about faith promise. How y'all to get the faith promise. And how y'all be obedient. You know, that faith promise often is above the tithe. It's above the general fund. It's above everything else. It's a faith promise offering above all the other offerings. And I was preaching on that. And when I got done preaching, this guy met me now about halfway back. So I want to ask you a question. I said, what's that? He said, I thought everything I have is his anyhow. Pretty good question. What are you going to do with it? Are you listening? Hey, what are you going to do? Can I tell you this tonight? The master of the servant. He owns it all. He owns it all. And I'll tell you something tonight. I'm the property of somebody else's. Hey, Matt. Hallelujah. I'm glad I belong to the King tonight. Hey, he's my master tonight. He's my master tonight. I say to you, the rule of the master tonight. By the way, he owns me. Number one, he owns me by creation. Can I get a witness? He owns me, number two, by regeneration. He doesn't own me by creation. We created in the image of God. Yes, I don't believe that. We have the option of being wrong if you want to be. We created in the image of God. But he don't own me by creation. He owns me by regeneration. I want to tell you something tonight. Listen to me. Oh my, hear me real good. The right of the master tonight. The master's servant. The right of this master. The rule of this master. And I like this. The riches of this master. Did you know that master had to take care of everything of that servant? And not only everything of the servant, he had to take care of the servant's wife, the servant's children. He had to take care of a bit of it. And are you listening to me? The riches of the master. I want to tell you now, he's been taking pretty good care of me. I listen to me. God for 50 years, through churches just like this church right here, has fed my wife and I put my kids through school, give me a vehicle to drive, put clothes on. You see this coat I got on? You remember Brother Pickle? Yes, sir. Bill Pickle. I was preaching for Brother Bill Pickle. I'll be there again in a few weeks. And he said, why don't you go with me downtown Spartanburg? He's in Packet, South Carolina. He said, why don't you go with me downtown Spartanburg in the morning? I said, okay. I thought we were going to go look at a gun or a car or something. And we get down to Spartanburg, and we go in a men's store. And he'd already talked to that guy. When I walked in, the guy had this coat in his hand. And handed it to me and said, try it on. I tried it on. And Brother Pickle said, you like it? I said, sure, I like it. And it's a Michael, whatever you call it. And I said, sure, I like it. And he said, okay, that's fine. He went over and he paid for it. You know what this coat cost? $250. Listen, you know what I do? I pay $10 for a suit at the Goodwill. Not really, maybe $70 for one. Are you listening? I don't buy stuff like that. Here's what I'm telling you tonight. The riches of the master. He takes good care of his youngins. I have no sad stories to tell. I say, man, are you hearing me preach tonight? Listen tonight. The master or the servant, it was his responsibility. You see what you're missing if you're not saved? He'll take care of you. He'll supply your need. He'll put food in your cabinet. Thank God he'll put food in your stomach. He'll put a shout in your soul. He'll give you something to rejoice about. Oh man, the master of the servant. He's a good master. The right of the master, the rule of the master, the riches of the master. By the way, for him to be able to take care of the servant, do you remember the law of the kinsman redeemer? I love it. The law of the kinsman redeemer. How many remembers Boaz? By the way, to be a kinsman redeemer, three things had to be. Number one, you had to be worthy. To be a kinsman redeemer, you had to be willing. And number three, you had to be wealthy. Hello, Tokyo. Did you know Jesus was every bit of that? He was worthy. He was willing. And he's wealthy. And may I say this to you tonight. The law, this servant here tonight, you simply see the master of the servant. He takes care of him. And the livelihood of the servant was all put on the hands of the master. And I'll say this to you real quick. I got to move. Hey, you're missing the greatest thing in the world. He'll watch after you. He'll take care of you. He'll be with you. He'll go with you all the way even to the end of the world. And when it comes time to die, you know what? He'll dispatch angels to you and transfer you over to the other side. I say hallelujah. What a good master we got tonight. You see the message of the master servant. You see the master of the servant. But can I say this quickly? The motivation of this servant. Why would a man, you see, a servant does this, he gives up all rights. And by the way, that's the only way you can get saved. You say, you come to God as a bankrupt sinner. You come to God and say, nothing in my hands I bring. I don't have nothing good to offer. I don't merit anything. I never have understood why anybody ever could believe a falling from grace doctrine, a work salvation. I've never understood that in my life. How could you believe that tonight? If you believe what you're saying, I'm going to tell you what would have to happen. For you to get saved twice, they're going to have been to the Calvary. And pardon my English, that ain't going to happen. That's just not going to happen. Are you listening? You don't have anything to bring. Listen to that. That night I got saved, I give God a dirty, rotten sinner. I ought to have been in hell burning. I had nothing to bring to him. I throwed myself on the mercy of God as a bankrupt sinner. And thank God he gave me everything. Are you listening? Oh, the motivation of this servant. What would cause a man to be motivated to give up all rights? And buddy, I want to tell you, that's a good thing. His will becomes my will. His thoughts becomes my thoughts. His ways becomes my thoughts and my ways. What would motivate a man to do that? By the way, what would motivate a man to be told what to do, when to do, how to do, where to go, how long to stay, when to come back, what to say, and what not to say? You say, you mean to tell me a servant did that? He sure did. He becomes somebody else's. And I'll tell you this tonight. You see, the master has sovereign rights over the servant. And I'll tell you, my master has sovereign rights over me tonight. And notice the motivation. What would motivate a man to do that? What would cause a man to come in and just throw it all down and say, here it is. Lord, I come as a bankrupt sinner. If you do anything for me, you do it. And I would give myself to you. Listen to me. If you'll do that tonight, listen to me. I'll promise you, you'll never be disappointed. I've got more miles behind me than I do in front of me. And I'll tell you this tonight. I don't have one sad story to tell. I hear people talk about, you know, I'm thinking about, help me pray that I don't turn back. Well, let me ask you a question. What in the world are you going to turn back to? Huh? Do I want to turn back to knots on my head on Monday morning? Do I want to turn back to my empty billfold Monday morning? Do I want to turn back on Saturday night puking like a buzzard? Are y'all hearing me? No, I don't think I'll turn back to that. I like where I'm at right now. Are you hearing me? I'm having a time of my life. Are you listening? Notice the motivation of this servant. What would motivate this guy to do that? Don't you see his motivation? I got to hurry. Look at verse 5. If the servant shall plainly say, here it is. I love my master. I love my master. The right kind of love will cause you to do anything. And can I say this and say it in the right spirit? You couldn't pay me to do what I'm doing. You don't have enough money to pay me to do what I do. No, I wouldn't do it for money. And a preacher's doing it for money, I ought to go get him an honest job. Are you listening? No, I wouldn't do that for money. If I did what flesh wanted, I wouldn't do that. But I want to say this tonight. The right kind of love will cause you to do anything. And I want to tell you, notice the confession here. The motivation of his servant. Notice his confession. I love my master. Boy, I love him tonight. I mean that tonight. I love him tonight. It's a sight in this world what he's done for my wife and I. And I'll just say this to you tonight. If God had saved me 54 years ago that night, and if God never touched me again, and God never blessed me again, and God never helped me again, that'd be enough shouted out on all the way to heaven. But not only that, all these benefits that comes along with it. I'm going to preach Sunday morning on the benefits of the resurrection. And all the benefits that comes with it. Hey, listen to the motivation of the servant. He said, I love my master. I want to ask you a question. Do you love your master? Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you told him you loved him? Brother Barker, you know, I just don't know if I want to do that. Do you ever tell your wife you love her? The way some of your women are looking right now, I think I know what direction I'm going tomorrow night. Are you listening? You better tell her you love her. And I want to just say this to you. Down in my basement, I don't have an upper room. I have a lower room. My altar's in my basement. But I want to tell you, sometime I'll get down there and I'll get to telling him how good he is, how wonderful he is. And I say, Lord, I sure do love you. I don't understand why you put up with me, but I sure do love you. The motivation of this servant, he was motivated. I love my master. And the right kind of love will cause you to do anything. Listen to this. I read a story some time ago about this nurse in the hospital where they had leprosy people. And these students was visiting this hospital. And this little lady, the nurse, she was taking those wraps off them people that had leprosy. And the visitors come by and saw her doing that. And the visitor said to that nurse, I wouldn't do what you're doing for $1 million. Little nurse looked up at him and said, I wouldn't do it for $1 million either. But I'll do it for Jesus for nothing. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I'm telling you not the motivation of the servant. I love, and notice this. He said, his confession is, I love my servant. But notice his claim. I love my. Did you get it? My. I love my. The Lord's mine. The Lord's my shepherd. He's mine. He's mine. Man, he's mine tonight. I want to ask you a question. I started to ask you last night and I got busy and didn't do it. Is he real to you? Can you say he's mine? Can you say with that little Shulamite girl in the book of Song of Solomon? He's mine and I'm his. I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad he's mine tonight. I'm glad I'm his and he's mine. What a relationship tonight. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. What a relationship. Are you listening? I gotta close this. You see the message of the servant. You're missing tonight if you're not saved. You see the master of the servant. By the way, if you're not saved, how's your master treating you? How you getting by? How's he helping you? And I tell the boys in jail all the time, I preach in jail every week. And when I'm at home, when I'm not there, my brother takes care of it for me. We preach in one jail. It's got 300 people in the county jail. 300. And I preach sometimes and I tell those guys, how's it going? How you getting by? How's your master? What'd your master get you into? Who caused you to be in here? And I preach about 30 minutes on that. How sorry the devil is. Somebody give me a witness. He won't do nothing. You know what the devil does? He takes and he takes and he takes and he takes. And that's the way the prodigal was. That far country, all it done was take. But I'll tell you, when he got to the father's house, the father said, he give him. And I'll tell you that. How's it working out for you tonight? I love my master. How's your master treating you tonight? I'm telling you now, the greatest thing ever happened to you would be the day you get saved. It's sweeter. Sweeter gets the journey every day serving Jesus. Really does pay. I'm doing what she is. The message of the servant. The master of the servant. The motivation of the servant. Look at verse 6. Now I'm done. You see the mark. The mark of the servant. And by the way, you get saved, God will mark your life. I'll guarantee you'll be different. I'll promise you. Look at verse 6. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. And they all shall bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his year through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. They would take that Hebrew servant literally to a doorpost or a door and take an awl like an ice pick and bore a hole. And by the way, I thought it was good when I said this today. They take him to the door. The door. Amen. The door. Glory to God. Guess what? The door swings open wide tonight. You're welcome into the household of God. He wants you to come in. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? He wants you to come in. He stands with outstretched arms tonight. The door's where you welcome people. And he take him to the doorpost and take that awl and bore it through his ear. And that would be a mark that he would be a Hebrew servant. Now we don't do that today, most of us. Most of us don't do that. Are you listening? And I could crank up right there, but I'm going to be nice. Listen to me. I'll say this tonight. Listen, we don't have the piercing of the ear, but we do have the circumcision of the heart. It's not the ear, but it's the heart. And I'll tell you, when you get saved by the good grace of God, listen to me, the circumcision of the heart, he'll change your life. You'll never be the same. I'm not going to finish this, but I just want to say this quickly. You'll never be the same. He'll change you. He'll give you something worth living for. Look at this, now I'm done. You got two masters. Are you listening to me? You got one over here. You got one over here. How's this one over here? This is the devil. How's he treating you? How's it working out for you? And I tell them boys in jail that all the time. How's it going, fellas? How's it working out for you now? Huh? And they'll stand there and cry, man. Boy, I got the mess, preacher. My life's a mess. And boy, it's what the devil got me into. Are you hearing me tonight? But I said, I know somebody that can help you. I know somebody that will take care of your situation. I know somebody that will wash your sins away. I know somebody that can give you peace in your heart. You lay down and go to sleep tonight and not have to worry about dying and going to hell. Are you listening? I remember those days before I got saved. My daddy would preach. I'd get under old-fashioned conviction. That's a word you don't hear much of anymore. Conviction. Are you listening? Old-time Holy Ghost conviction. And man, I'd step back on that back row and I'd white knuckle that pew. I'd squeeze that pew. God dealing with my heart and I would not move. I'd get out there and sometimes I wouldn't wait for him to give the invitation. After I got my teen years, if I did go to church, I'd leave when he gave the invitation. Cause I knew what was getting ready to happen. And, boy, I'd go home at night. I'd lay down my bed. I literally would cry myself to sleep. Here's why. Because I'd get to thinking about what if I die tonight. What if I die tonight? It's appointed unto man once to die. If that verse stopped there, it would be okay, but it doesn't stop there. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You'll stand before God one day as a bankrupt sinner and be put into hell forever if you don't get saved. I want to ask you this. Miss Piano, will you come to the piano so I quit? Listen to this. Why in the world will we not serve a master like I preached about tonight? He watches after you. He takes care of you. And boy, that servant fell in love with the master. And I'll say this to you tonight. Listen to me. If you're here tonight and you've not been being a servant like you ought to be, you ought to come around this altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm not a good servant, but I want to be a good servant. I've not been serving you like I ought to be serving you. You know, Baptists are the best people in the world give excuses. I can't do that. I can't teach that class. I couldn't be that youth leader. I couldn't give out tracts. You know, I can't go on visitation. I can't even talk. What are you doing now? Hey, y'all want to be a good servant. After all he's done for us, the least we can do is give ourselves to him. What a joy to be his servant. I'm not mine. I'm somebody else's. What a joy. I'm not done, but I got to hush. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, as we stand to our feet, the results of revival, I believe things will happen. The psalmist said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And the results of revival in our heart, there'll be a surrendered heart. I'll do whatever he wants. And I pray tonight, Father, for that one here tonight that's not being the servant they ought to be. Maybe they're saved, but they've not really been the servant. They've not surrendered like they ought to surrender. Lord, it might be a good time for them to come around the altar tonight and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You want me to serve here in the church? Whatever my pastor needs me to do? Oh God, would you speak to hearts tonight? I'm not a good servant, but I want to be a good servant. Help me. But then most of all tonight, there very well could be a mama or a daddy, a boy, a girl in this service not saved tonight. The one they're serving is not working out too good for them. But I'm so glad tonight they don't have to serve the devil. I'm glad, Father, you can give them peace. You can give them happiness. You can give them joy. You can give them something worth living for. And Lord, you'll be with them all the way. You'll never forsake them. You'll never leave them. What a wonderful master we have tonight. Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. I want to ask two questions. Here's the first one. Real quick tonight, how many would be real honest tonight? Say, preacher, I'm saved. If I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'm going to be honest about it. I'm probably not being the servant I ought to be. I'm probably not the servant I ought to be. I'm probably not. I wish you'd pray for me tonight. I just want to slip my hand up and say, pray for me that I'll be a better servant for God. Hold them high, real high, all over the building. I want to see them. I want to see them all over the building. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now let me tell you what you ought to do right now. Right now you ought to make your way down here. You say, why come to the altar? Because there's a commitment involved when you do that. You can raise your hand, we'll pray and go back out the door and do the same thing over and over again. Are you listening? But when you move, there's a commitment involved with that. Won't you come, let me pray for you at the altar? Will you do it right now? You that raise your hand. That's a lot of people raise their hand. Come on, right now, right now. God spoke to your heart. I'm not trying to just get you down the aisle. If God spoke to your heart, don't you come and pray right now? Come on. Come on. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're getting ready to pray. While these are coming, I got one more question. Here it is. If you're in this building tonight and you don't know that you know that you know, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. If you don't know that, I love you tonight. This preacher loves you tonight. We care about your soul. We care about where you're going to spend eternity. Are you listening to me? We love you. We don't want you to die and go to hell one day. You can leave this building and go down Highway 21 tonight, Columbia Highway. Somebody can run into you and you can be called out into eternity before daylight in the morning. Where are you going to spend eternity? If you don't know that you go to heaven, would you raise your hand right now? And by that, just say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved or I'm not sure. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I'm going to pray for you. Right now, would you just lift it? And by raising your hand, say, preacher, pray for me. You preached about a pretty good master tonight. That's the kind of master I need. How about it tonight? The one I'm serving is not that good a master. I need prayer. I'm not saved. Anybody anywhere real quick? Hold it real high, real high. I'm looking. I'm looking. You're going to go out of this building. Here's what you're going to say. I wish I'd raised my hand. At least I wish I'd raised my hand. You've got time to do it if you want to do it right now. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. Anybody? 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 Heavenly Father, I want to pray, first of all, you'll help me. Help me be a good servant. Lord, as you work in my life, help me be that I ought to be. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to do, however you want me to do, help me be that good servant. Then, Lord, I want to thank you tonight for being such a wonderful master. I have no complaints tonight. You're so good to me. You're so wonderful. And I bless your good name. Give me all this in heaven too. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be your servant. I pray tonight for these in the altar. Some of us already went back to the pew. May it be a night of dedication. We say, dear God, I want to be used, whatever area, whatever, I want to be used. I'm coming to be the servant you want me to be, and I pray you'll meet your every need tonight. One more time, I want to pray, God, if there's one here lost. I pray they'll come to Christ tonight. Our heads are still bowed. I'm getting ready to step off the platform. If you're not saved, I beg you, I urge you, don't leave this building that way. We'll pray with you. Come. Anybody anywhere? I feel like God's speaking to somebody's heart. Anybody anywhere? I'll be around after service if you're lost. I'll be glad to pray with you, but I wish you'd come now.